the extreme elements in the imperial government, and these are probably army officers and the hardline members of the Orthodox clergy, they are opponents of Nicetas Coniatus, the historian who recorded these events. The extremists take the attitude is, let's tell them to go, and if there's going to be a fight, so be it. This group seizes power in January of 1204. They depose the pathetic Isaac, they depose Alexis IV, both of whom were eventually murdered, and they put on a throne a fellow by the name of Alexis, Murtzophilus, which means the bushy-eyed. He's of the Dukas and Comnenian family, Angelin family. He's a prominent aristocrat from several different major families. And this is exactly what this new Alexis does, is he tells the Crusaders the deal's off, time to leave. When the sailing season is ready, go. Well, the Crusaders are not really in a position to do so. And at this point, they're frustrated. They're desperate. They've had to experience a winter outside of Constantinople in tents. No fun operation. Their ranks have been swelled by many Latins who have fled the city. They have seen themselves repeatedly frustrated by the perfidy of the Greeks and their promises. And many in the Crusader leaderships, in the Crusader rank and file, who take oaths very seriously, you know, these are like oaths of homage, he swore. That emperor swore on relics and bones and saints. He gave his word to fulfill his pledge, and he's let us down. And they think of how the Byzantines have done this before in the past. And they are ready at this point to do what was unthinkable, that is to attack the city itself in their own interests. And by early 1203, there's really no other choice. It's either take Constantinople or see the crusade disintegrate in humiliation. An agreement is drawn up late in March between the Crusaders and the Venetians on how to partition the Byzantine state. There's a set of very, very specific terms which they implement. And then a general assault is set for April the 12th, 1204. And that's exactly what they do. The attack is launched against the Blacharnae area. The Venetians go into action along the Golden Horn. The fighting is ferocious. For the next 36 hours, there's fighting all along the walls. The Varangian Guard, of course, slackens. They want their money. And eventually, it's the Venetians who break in at crucial points along the sea walls, relieve the pressure on their Crusader allies, and the final assault pushes in on the 13th of April, 1204, and the Crusaders burst into the city. Again, Alexis V does what all feckless Byzantine emperors do. He flees. Eventually, the Crusaders catch up with him. A long story about what happens to him. And the Crusaders are almost dismayed by their own success. They've captured the city. And for the next 3 days, some 20,000 armed Europeans and Venetians, maybe 25,000, we're not sure, are able to terrorize a city many, many times their size and methodically loot it. According to the reports of Nicetas, 400,000 marks of cologne, well over 5 million gold pieces worth of specie and precious objects, are dumped in the hippodrome to be partitioned out. 10,000 war horses, 10,000 suits of armor, silks, tapestries, works of art beyond counting. The capital net worth of the Byzantine Empire, representing some 800 years, is liquidated to pay out for the Crusades. And Nicetas claims that all the classical statues are melted down and made into billion trashy pieces of money. And the result is the city has fallen. The Crusaders then have to work out, well, what do they do next? Well, in accordance with that treaty, there's an election, and it's Baldwin, the Count of Flanders, not Boniface, much to Boniface's dismay, who gets elected Emperor of the Romans, that is, the successor of the emperor who just fled. Now, we often designate these emperors as Latin emperors, that is, Western emperors, but he is the Emperor of Constantinople, the Emperor of the Romans. That's how Baldwin signs his documents. And, of course, the Venetians are going to elect their own patriarch as part of the deal, and we now have a Western presence in Constantinople. Well, this gets us back to that comment I made about Livy some lectures back, and that is, you may know how to win victory, but do you know how to use it? Often said of the Carthaginian General Hannibal. The Crusaders had pulled off a stunt certainly on par with the capture of Jerusalem. This was an amazing military feat. But unlike the Crusaders in 1099, who went on to construct the Kingdom of Jerusalem, these Crusaders who carved out now a Latin empire and associated feudal states were far less successful in building a political order that either reinforced the Holy Land or even could endure on its own resources. And that meant that the Byzantines would launch a counteroffensive, and that the legacy the political legacy out of this sack would be embitterment, recriminations, increasing hatred and suspicion on part of both the Orthodox Christians and of the Latin Western European crusaders. And the ultimate beneficiaries of this will be the Turks, who will in the end turn out to be the true successors to the Byzantine state, because the cry will go up, better the Sultan's turban fly over Constantinople than the papal banner.